the assigned Old Testament reading for this first Sunday of Lent comes from the prophet Isaiah. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of God. They ask me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Quote, why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn. And your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help. God will say, here I am. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall shine in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose water never fails. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall rise up on the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Bear fruits worthy of your repentance. These are the words of John the Baptist, as recorded in the Gospels of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, respectively. And Matthew also records the same words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near, as the first proclamation of Jesus' ministry. So I think we all get the point. It's abundantly clear that the ministry of John the Baptist and Jesus and his disciples was a call to repentance. And I see that as a necessary reminder. The fact that I and actually many other progressive pastors rarely even bring up the topic of repentance. What is not abundantly clear, however, is precisely what biblical repentance entails. Much of traditional Christian orthodoxy is taught that repentance is somehow tied to salvation, meaning that we better get our act together. Believe that Jesus came to die for our sins and therefore be saved from eternal punishment in hell. In other words, repentance was a necessary part of getting our fire insurance. But thanks to efforts by progressive Christian theologians, we are seeking to reclaim and restore many theological terms, concepts, and doctrines to the fullness of their meaning before they were engraved and granted by the powers that be in organized religion. Therefore, our purpose here at College Hill during this 40-day period of Lent is to reclaim an understanding of repentance in a way that makes it a truly relevant and important part of our journey of faith as individuals and as a congregation. So let's start with the common understanding that repentance means doing penance for our sins and moral shortcomings in order to be in a right relationship with God. Now, penance is rightfully understood as some sort of voluntary self-punishment or self-denial used as an outward expression to show that we are sad or really sorry and apologetic for doing wrong. And some call these acts of contrition. And there's nothing wrong about regretting the wrong that we have done or the good that we have left undone. So that's where the idea came from, to either give up something important, something meaningful, or to stop doing something destructive during the season of Lent. But as a response to that, let me just state that we shouldn't need a specific church season to remind us that trying to eradicate direct, destructive, and harmful behaviors and attitudes to ourselves and others should be a part of our everyday journey of faith. Biblical repentance is much broader than that, or at least it used to be. You may be surprised to learn that during the Protestant Reformation, 500 years ago, Martin Luther and John Calvin both sought to remove the concept of penance from the process of repentance. Calvin believed that repentance is continued throughout the life of the Christian and saw it as the fruit of living a faithful life. And in going back to the original Greek word, metanoia, which is translated in English as repentance, they emphasized what it literally meant. And that was to think about something after the fact and have a reversal of opinion about it. Thus, for the early reformers, repentance primarily meant to have a change of heart and a change of mind. So with that understanding, I think it's fair to say that many of us gathered here this morning have indeed repented from traditional church dogma. Yes, it's interesting that sometimes we have to look to the past to guide us to the future. For in a letter to John Stoppitz, in defense of his 95 theses, Martin Luther himself may have come closest to the New Testament meaning of repentance when he wrote, "Metanoia signifies a changing of the mind and heart because it seemed to indicate not only a change of heart, but also a manner for changing it, i.e. the grace of God. For that passing over of the mind, which is true repentance, is a very frequent mention in the scriptures." So Luther and Calvin were onto something far different than metanoia understood by the Roman Catholic Church in their day, and today in the expressions of some traditional Christian churches. And consider this, if we have trouble translating the Greek, the written language of the New Testament, into English, imagine the complications added by the fact that Jesus spoke Aramaic. On a website named Metanoia Ministries, an outreach that encourages a Christian lifestyle centered on repentance, I found the following quote. "The closest word we have in English to the meaning of the Greek word metanoia, as used in the original scriptural text, is metamorphosis, or the life cycle of change is seen when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. If we look closely at the concept of metamorphosis, we might find insight into the process of metanoia and the importance of repentance in our lives." And if that is indeed the case, then perhaps a legitimate expression of the message of John the Baptist and Jesus is this: experience a metamorphosis of your heart and mind, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Or bear the fruits worthy of having gone through a metamorphosis. When you think about it, isn't that the very purpose of living a life of faith? To allow ourselves to be transformed by the sacred presence of God within and among us. Repentance, therefore, isn't a momentary instance of remorse, but rather a journey of transformation to which we are all called. Well, this is just the first of many concepts that we will be exploring during Lent in order to reclaim that call to repentance in our lives. And in addition to printed liturgy and the sermon, we will also be adding something special each week. It's a reflection on the meaning of repentance through a candle extinguishing ceremony. It's kind of like the reverse of lighting an additional candle on the Advent wreath each week during Advent. So we will start with 7 candles and extinguish an additional one each week until they all go dark on Good Friday. Seek to bear fruit in your journey of repentance this week, throughout Lent, and always.